getting set up here. How's everyone doing this morning? Fantastic. As I said, actually, I didn't introduce myself. That probably been a good idea earlier. I am Dexter. I get to serve as a pastor at the Rock Church of Spokane. Before I started pastoring, I actually knew Matt. We used to intern together at the Rock for a number of years. So if you want to know anything interesting about him, come let me know after service. I've got stories. Hopefully, you've come to know him. He's fun, but he's interesting. In good ways, of course, all good things. But anyways, thank you guys for joining us today. As I said before, I've got to preach here a few times. It's been a privilege to come here, see known faces, see some newer faces, and just see how God's moving through his church. Whether that be me preaching here, you guys, all of us coming to serve together in whatever capacity that we have, it's really a blessing to be part of whatever it is the Lord's moving in each and every area of our lives and through the church as well. You know, causing the body to function in a way that most glorifies and honors him, even though the many difficulties we face, that God's purposes always prevail, even in the midst of the great difficulties we face as we try to live it out. But in accord with that, the message I'm going to be able to preach today is over sanctification, and just again, this basic understanding that is us growing in Christ's likeness. Sanctification is just growing to be more saint-like, growing to be more godly, growing to be more accustomed to the image of Christ. You know, we've talked about Romans 8:28, you know, God works all things together for the good of those who are called according to his purpose in Christ Jesus. And so understanding the good that God has in store for us is to be conformed to the image of Christ, as you read in the next verse in Romans 8:29. And so there's a lot of difficulty with that, though, isn't there? I think, you know, growing in Christ, we look at his life, and as we've heard said earlier, it's just there's a lot of difficulty even Christ faced. And so there's just a lot of things that come at us, you know, the way the world's organized and the way the thoughts of our thoughts are formed as we're interacting with the world. We're often our own worst enemy when it comes to trying to grow in Christ, right? You know, we get in our own way. We want to say, well, this is what I want. You know, I know this is what Scripture says, but in this moment, I want to reject that because I want to do what I want. And so this is the understanding of sanctification as we live in the world and as we struggle with sin. And the basic definition I'd like to give it, hopefully that kind of helps us here, is the process in which God reveals our shortcomings in living righteously, i.e. sin in our lives, and then giving the ability to overcome and better reflect the attitude and actions of his son, Jesus Christ. So while we do struggle, while we do have issues and many things going on in the world, God's goal is to sanctify us. And God's purposes don't fail, so even as we do things in our own flesh, God can use that to overcome and make us more like Christ. He doesn't necessarily bless the disobedience, but he can use disobedience to conform us to his image. You know, as we think of Joseph's story in Genesis, I think it's Genesis 50:20, he told his brothers as after they sold him into slavery and all these things come about, where he becomes the second most powerful person in Egypt. And because of the dream he gave, that Pharaoh had, he was able to interpret properly. He saved many people from famine, including his family. And so at the end of this, his brothers are saying, don't take vengeance on us. At the end of the dialogue, Joseph, in essence, says, you know, what you intended for evil, God meant for good, and the salvation of many. And so that's the kind of sovereign God we serve. Is I want this to be the encouragement as we go into this, is remembering that everything that happens in our lives is going toward the ultimate purpose of making us more like our Savior, no matter what it looks like. No matter the darkness we face, the light of Christ overcomes. Amen. That being said, I am going to pray, and then we're going to get started. Thank you guys for being here. Father, thank you again for your lordship over our lives that blesses us, that sanctifies us, that helps us see our errors and gives us just a profound sense of wisdom and how to live in accordance with your word. Lord, I just pray you bless us to remember that, to reflect on that, to meditate on that, not just to read the word, but to really reflect in our lives and how we're living it out and what you're truly speaking to us and then applying it, Lord. The scriptures are beautiful, but if we just read them just to read them, and for knowledge's sake, we're really not getting out of it what you would call us to get out of it, Lord. We need to be doers of the word, and that's where the wisdom comes and the proper foundation we stand on, being the fear of the Lord. So prepare our hearts and minds once again, Lord, that we would hear this message and do something about it. That, as the book of James says, that when we look into a mirror, we don't just walk away, but we look intently, recognize the faults, and according to the power that the Spirit has, be conformed to the image of Christ. Do something about what we hear and reflect on Christ as we do so, understanding it's His power that enables us to do it all. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Okay, so I have a few points before we get into that. I'm going to read the entire section of Scripture, which is going to be 2 Peter 1, verses 2 through 10. And as the Word of God says, starting in verse 2, may grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us to His own glory and excellence, by which He has granted to us His precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he is blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. Therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent and confirm your calling and election, for if you practice these qualities, you will never fall. And so to start off with, we're going to camp out in a few different sets of verses, the first verse being verse 2. And the main point I want to kind of discuss, this won't be on the screen, but is understand that our Christian growth is, again, it's founded on God. It's founded on His character and His nature, His power and His promises. And so again, just read verse 2. May grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. And so what's the initial thing here is that may grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord. Grace and peace is multiplied here because these two things are being stressed because, again, it's founded on God and His character, what He's capable of. And so that's kind of the first step we need to think about is, again, even going to Proverbs 1:7, I think many of you probably know this verse, but the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, and fools despise wisdom. And so, again, when we think of something being founded, it's, you know, we think of a building. Let's take that for instance. The building has a foundation. Everything is built on that. Everything's relying on that. That foundation needs to be stable so the building can be stable, right? And so as we think of growing in Christ, it's understanding that He is the foundation for us to rely on, to look to, not to. Because, again, we live in a world that, and we also have an enemy, where the systems of the world in place are to gear us away from Christ and not necessarily towards Him. God has given us creation to know Him and love Him and rejoice in Him, but because of our sinful hearts and nature, we are not for proclivity outside of Christ is to want to worship creation, to want to look to creation and say, this is the ultimate expression of life is what's in front of me, and not being shaped and molded by eternity. And that's the problem we face, is because I think that's why we go through, as the scripture says, you know, it's only through many trials and tribulations that we enter the kingdom of heaven, is those trials wean us from the many temptations the world wants to offer us, right? And so as we're thinking through sanctification, it's understanding that, again, the foundation for us has been laid. It's Christ. It's what He did for us on Calvary. It's the blood shed for us. That's what sets us apart, and that's what makes us more and more holy in the image of God. And it's only when we come to this kind of understanding that it enables us to actually reflect the image that we've been given as image bearers of God, to understand this value we have is intrinsic. It can't be taken away. Because again, what does the world tell you to get your value from? Your job, your family, your name, all these different things, it actually can go away. You know, I could lose my job tomorrow. Maybe some people that I thought, you know, as I look to people for approval, maybe those people decide they don't want to be around me anymore. Then my value goes away. But that's not how it's supposed to be. It's in Christ, founded on Him. And so this is just really what sets us up to understanding that the foundation is Christ. And as we move forward, it's growing in Him, being steadfast in Him and His love for us that changes everything and makes us no longer want sin but righteousness. And to be even more practical, there's just the way to really understand this growing in Christ and understanding His nature and how He's molding us is, you think of it as any other relationship in a way, except of course He's God, it's a little different. But the more you get to know somebody, the more you're in a relationship with somebody, you know what they're capable of. You kind of get to know who they are, you know where where they joke and maybe where they're not joking. And I tell people, 95% of my personality is sarcasm. I'm holding it back right now. But that's not always the best way to communicate. But people that know me, they know, okay, Dexter said something really weird. He's probably joking. And so as we get to know people, we say, okay, I don't read into what they're doing so much anymore because I know them. I know who they are. I know I can understand their intentions and what they're trying to do. And so I grow to trust them. And when they do things that I'm like, I don't know about, I'm like, well, you know, this has happened before, and I've seen their intention in it. I've seen what they're trying to do, so I can trust them to keep doing this. And so it's in a lot of ways, it's very similar to our relationship with the Lord. And that process of sanctification is growing to know what God is capable of and who he is and what his intention for our life is. And so as we, again, we struggle with sin and all the things that come out of it, we see that, okay, this ongoing hall of fame, sort of the hall of faith, we'll say, it's sort of like, you know, you go through an art gallery and you kind of look at all these different pieces of art. For us as Christians, those pieces of art is just, we have these pictures of God's faithfulness in every area of our lives. And we just see a constant testimony of faithfulness, faithfulness, faithfulness. And that's what enables us to sit and say, okay, I'm going through this thing, whether it's again or a new trial, and just say, God has been faithful here. God was faithful then, and he'll be faithful now. And so part of our sanctification is just trusting God and his proven character to lead us through everything. And that's what makes us more reliant on him. That's a Christ-like character, is relying on the Father to help us, to lead us, to mold us, to make us want righteousness rather than reject it. It's just, it's so precious to walk with this Lord. And I think as we grow in him, we realize, I think early on, maybe it's easy enough for us when, as God pulls us away from things, we can tend to think he can be a killjoy. He's not trying to kill our joy, he's trying to kill the thing that's actually taking our joy. Because it's, he is the one we look to, right? Not to creation, but to the Creator. And so as we do so, it's just, it's wonderful to see how God's molding and shaping us to be more like him. And I think it's, there's, again, the struggle we have is because it's our own flesh that often gets in the way. I think as we struggle with sin, we tend to make our excuses. We say, you know, it's, I'm not hurting anybody, or I'm not hurting myself, whatever it may be. But as we really reflect and realize who Christ is, it just, he draws us away from sin. You know, I can have reflected this in my own life. Even after I got baptized, there was a struggle with some addiction I had where I was a pothead, to be quite honest with you, and this was years ago. But I made excuses for it. I just said, you know, it's fine, it's okay. But as I dug into the Word, and I got to 1 Peter 5:8, and that verse states, be sober-minded, for the devil is prowling around like a lion looking for someone to devour. And now that first part of it, just it was a stumbling block for me. It's like, be sober-minded. I was like, well, I feel like I'm sober or whatever, but the point of it isn't how I feel or what I believe. It's just, what does Scripture say? And what am I going to do about it? And through that process, that verse just echoed in my mind, and I said, I can't do this anymore. And so, yes, we are on stumbling blocks at times, but God can overcome us. That's the whole point of the cross, that he overcame sin, and he overcame our own rebellion. And while we are still sinners, Christ died for us. And so it's hard, because we have a lot of struggles, we have a lot of things that we probably don't realize we're looking to for life outside of Christ. And God is so gracious to help us see that. God is so kind to help us bring to remembrance these things that, you know, I have set you apart from the world, you are to be in the world, but not of the world. And if we're really being honest, we're very of the world more than we realize. But what's so precious is that we're more sinful than we think, but we're far more loved than we know. I didn't make that up. That was a quote from Piper, just so you know. But what's so remarkable, again, as we're working through this, is I think we got to get out of this headspace, because for me, when I first came to Christ, I thought a lot of this was like I had to do all these things, and God was just going to bless me as a result of that. But as I encountered Christ, and as I encountered the radical nature of what the gospel does, it's like, it's not my strength, it's not my power. I'm not the foundation. Jesus is. And just to further emphasize this, we're going to get into this next section of verses, which is going to be verses 3 and 4. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence, by which he has granted to us his precious and very great promises, that through them may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. I think at times what I've seen in the past, some people try to justify themselves in thinking it's up to me to sanctify myself by looking at a verse like, this isn't going to be on screen, but Philippians 2:12 says, you know, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, but they ignore the next verse, which is, for it is God working within you to will and work for his good pleasure. So our work, our sanctification is again a result of the foundation of Christ. Not just standing on that foundation, but God making us firm in that foundation of Christ. Because it's not dependent on our own strength and abilities, but I was reading a commentary from D.A. Carson saying the two factors contributing this to our sanctification is the power and promises of God. Not our power, not our ability to overcome all these things, but it's the power and promises of God that no matter what you go through, it's for good. The thing of itself may not be good, but the ultimate result is your good and his good pleasure. His glory, I should say, sorry. And so it's just so precious again that this does not rest on you, believer. Your sanctification is not resting on your abilities. Your sanctification isn't resting on your charm and talents. As charming as we might think we are, we need God. And so hopefully this, as we're thinking through these things, just let that stress melt away. You know, let the peace and grace be multiplied as God is revealing himself through your heart and what he wants for you. Because again, it's the foundation is Christ and not us just saying, I'm going to stand on Christ as hard as I can today. It's going to be great. It's just relying on the Lord, clinging to the cross, but ultimately knowing that he's the one who makes it happen. You know, if there's so many plans that we have, as the proverb talks about, you know, we make our plans, the Lord measures our steps. So God's sovereignty has overcome us. God's sovereignty is what plants us. God's sovereignty is what keeps us. His love for us is what makes it all possible to keep growing in him, acknowledge his power in all the circumstances we face in life. And so as we said, it's not up to us. We need to be following the Lord and we need to be taking action. We'll talk about here in a bit. But what we can't forget in this whole process of sanctification is that this is the work of the Lord, molding you to be like Christ. He has taken active ownership and saying, I am going to make you more like my son. No matter what you face, no matter the difficulty, I am forging you into something more useful for the kingdom of God, to grow in your witness, to grow in your affections for God and his church, to be a more effective tool, and just have this ongoing growing testament as we talk about just this gallery of all of these pictures of God's faithfulness to get us through, to mold us, to sanctify us. And this is part of this understanding is just, I know as I'm preaching these things, this is for me too, not just for you guys. This is for all of God's people to grow in this, because I got my own stuff. I wish I didn't, I really do, but I do. But God's been so gracious, God's been so kind and merciful, where it's made it possible to get through some stuff that I didn't know I could. And just the testimony of God just bringing me from darkness and into light to remind me of his great promises and how they are steadfast, they are true, and they are worthy to hold on to. And again, not because I'm drumming up this thing of saying, I'm going to just be so faithful today. It's just, I look to my Lord and say, I'm relying on your power, and though I may feel a certain way, the Lord will provide. And he does, every single time, without fail. It's so beautiful, and as we encounter that day after day, moment to moment, God's provision for us, even the seasons of discouragement. And so, just remembering this again, The growth we have is encouraged and enabled by God, and it's founded on his power and promises. Not our own abilities, but God's, who is infinite. I'm not very infinite, so I kind of need him. I might think I am, but then you know, that 3 o'clock time rolls around where I crash, and I'm like, okay, never mind. That post-lunch crash, I hope maybe you guys get it too, I don't know. But anyways, we'll roll into the next set of verses, and this is going to be the verses 5 through 10. And so again, understanding that the foundation is Christ. God is the one building us on that foundation. God is the one establishing us on that foundation. But there's action that we need to take to join him in the effort he's making. you know, to sort of join him. We're and ask that prayer of asking where God is working and join him as we're witnessing, as we're evangelizing, as we're studying, and all these things that God is already doing. We're just joining him in that effort and moving along with the power and energy he gives us to do so. And that being said, we'll go, it'll be verses 5 to 10. We'll go verse by verse as I have something to talk about each one. And verse 5, for this very reason, make every effort, supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge. And so again, God won't bless our disobedience, but he can use it to make us more like Christ. But we can sort of be like Jonah in this instance, where it's like, do God's will or do God's will, but being swallowed by a fish after. Do God's will or do God's will with more pain. And so that's the kind of, maybe you guys aren't like me, I tend to have to learn the hard way because I'm so stubborn. But we still learn all the same, right? And so as we're thinking through these things, we're not to be lazy in our joining in the Lord. We are to be active. We are to be steadfast. We are to continue growing in him, joining in him, making the most of every opportunity we have, whether that's reading scripture, whether that's in prayer or in the church, whatever it be, making the most of the time we have, for the days are evil, as Paul says. And so it's just, again, that awareness of we are to join God in the work he's doing. We're not jumping ahead of him. And there's going to be that temptation to jump ahead or maybe just kind of sit in the sidelines and not do anything. We have to be careful. We might have a certain proclivity to one or the other. But being mindful of joining the Lord in the work he's doing and praying according to that. Like, Lord, where are you working and how can I join you? Now, Lord, give me somebody to encourage with the gospel today. And as we do things like that, we realize where God's working and we become more enlightened to the will of God for our lives, which is to know him and rejoice in him. And by being a light to the world, hopefully other people come in and join us in the church and be the church. Now, precious it is that God can use our testimony to bring people to himself. In this next verse, in verse 6, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness. You know, not everybody knows this, but I've been a seminary student for the last almost 7 years. This is not to boast, but it's just the things that God has allowed me to be a part of, and I'm grateful for it, because I love to study, I love to learn, and so it's been really fun. But one of the things I've been able to study is church history, and so thinking of the Reformation, and we think of Luther, you know, the theses he nailed to the door. The first thesis, really the only one I memorized, is the lifestyle of a believer is a lifestyle of repentance. We don't like that word sometimes, do we? Repentance? Like, but I like what I'm doing. It's like, well, that's the problem. And so this lifestyle of repentance is us just turning from sin. Not just in our own willpower and strength, thinking, I shouldn't do this. It's saying, I'm turning because I don't have to. I'm going to turn to the Lord and say, I want what you want, Lord, not what I want. Which hopefully, in turn, that makes me want what he wants more, right? And so this, as we're growing in godliness, it's just departing from sin, returning to Christ. Departing from sin, returning to Christ. And this is going to be a daily thing where it's a daily repentance, because we struggle with sin in some profound ways that we may not be aware of. But as God brings those things to light, he's also going to give us the ability to overcome it. We just have to trust him, and we have to be obedient. Again, not that God's going to rely on it to shape and form us, but he's not going to bless disobedience either, right? God can intend our evil for good, but that doesn't mean what we did wasn't evil in itself. And so as we're following the Lord, as we're being growing in him and being molded by him, it's just, we need to pursue righteousness and holiness because that's what God is. And again, God is the one sponsoring and enabling that, but we need to make the effort to be godly too. And again, joining God in the effort that he's already established too. Move on to verse 7. And godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. And this is what brings us to the church. You know, as we operate today, you know, we think of the local and universal church. The church is a wonderful and precious thing, and you know why? Because this is the way God moves to bring salvation to the world. Of course, through the gospel is shared, the gospel is in the church, we're trained, in the church, we're raised up, in the church, we're edified, in the church, we're given opportunity to learn how to be better advocates for Christ in our lives. And so the question to ask ourselves is, are we really being the church, and are we being a part of the church in the most effective way we can be? Are we here and available as much as we can be to be in a group, to be a disciple? to do these things that we need to be doing that God has allowed the church to be? And so are we making the most of the time we have being the church and being a part of the church as it operates? Are we a functioning member of the body, or are we just kind of coming to Sunday service and then not doing much else after? I'm not trying to be cruel when I say this, but it's just, you know, this is where God changes us in so many ways. The accountability you get here will not often happen elsewhere. The kind of love people will give here will often not happen elsewhere. This is the place where God's going to challenge us, mold us, and use us. Because again, we can learn in isolation to an extent. You know, you think, of course, Jesus and a lot of the prophets went into isolation for a time, but they didn't stay there. God always brought them back to be with his people, right? It's the same thing for us. We should study, we should pray, we should be seeking witnessing opportunities on our own too, of course, but we need to be part of the church. You know, coming back to God's people to say, hey, maybe you can join me in this effort as I go and maybe witness these people across the street or something. Or being in a group and saying, you know, these are the things I'm discovering as I'm reading scripture. What do you guys think? And so there's all these opportunities we have. It's just, are we making the most of them? You know, with the gifts and talents God has given us, whether it's through worship, whether it's through some kind of teaching opportunity, whether it's through the tech, whatever it is, the gifting that God has given you, how are you using it to greatest effect and growing in affection with your brothers and sisters in Christ? Because here's the thing, there is no plan B. This is it. So what else do we turn? And so it's not the institution of the church that saves people, but it's Christ moving through the church that saves people. So we do need to understand that difference, but it's understanding that this is what Christ has given us and we need to utilize it well. And moving on to verse 8 to 9, we'll read, "For if these qualities are yours and increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he is blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins." So one of Satan's strategies for us is to remain ignorant, not know what God wants for us. It's sort of like you think of Paul's journey. If Paul wasn't certain that he was going to Rome and wasn't certain of God's will for him while he was there, I don't know, how would he have made it to that point? You know, Satan wants us to be ignorant of what God wants for us, of the life that God will grant us. So, because that's, as we talked about, when Satan tempts us to despair, what's going to happen? If we're ignorant, that temptation is going to take over. And God will help us. It's sort of like we think of Peter walking on the water. He was doing real well as he focused on Jesus, but as soon as he looked at the waves, he started to sink. And Jesus saved him, just as he often so often saves us in the same capacity. But if we just focused on him, shifted away from ignorance and into fruitful wisdom and knowledge, how much more useful we'd be, how much better off we'd be, how much more alive we'd be, how much more joyous and sanctified we'd be. And just to grow out of ignorance and into a glorious sense of wisdom of what God has for us and wants for us, because that's where the truth abides. And where that truth kind of abides, as Christ said, you know, the truth is meant to set us free, not keep us caged. But ignorance will often do that, keep us in bondage to a thing that God never intended for us to be bound to. And so it's just so vital for us to take the challenge up of, again, from the platform of God establishing us in the foundation of Christ, but take up the challenge of saying yes to the Lord, whatever it is he's calling us to do day by day, moment to moment, as it comes to witnessing, as it comes to fellowship, as it comes to prayer, as it comes to reading the word. Not just seeing these things as drudgery or something we're supposed to do, but a joy. Something that gives us life, something that gives us purpose, and something that renews us in the way we should go. And so this is the challenge for all of us, is to shift out of ignorance and into sound wisdom and doctrine as we read the scriptures and as we're growing in the Lord. Molded, being molded in the image of Christ. Not some other image, but the image of Christ specifically. Growing out of the ways that the world would have us operate, growing out of perhaps our own sort of mindsets that have trapped us for a long time in a situation that God never wanted us to be. And it's one of the most wonderful things about sanctification, again, is just even as we do these things to ourselves, God steps in onto the scene and reminds us that this is not my purpose for your life. Live in obedience and you will find life that you didn't know you could ever have in me. And it's so beautiful and so precious as God helps us get out of those cycles. Because it is possible. He's done it for me. He can do it for you too. Like I said, I've probably said this before in this, but you know, God's discipline is not a fun thing. You know, we get smacked in the head a lot, and that's why I have this thick hair, so you can't see all the welts. Sorry, first time I said it, I got more laughs. That's okay. That's okay. I forgive you. But it's, yeah, as just this encouragement we have is that, again, to grow out of ignorance and to grow in this knowledge of God's will for our life, and that's far more beautiful than we can really imagine. So precious, so good, so true, but we need to join him in whatever it is he's calling us to do and remember that too. And as we wrap up, we'll look to verse 10. Therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to confirm your calling and election, for if you practice these qualities, you will never fall. And so God has called us. God has been in our lives to reveal Christ and to show us how beautiful he is. And so as we believe he is who he says he is, we need to continue to work alongside him, to continue growing in the Lord, to continue acknowledging Christ, his deity, and the foundation that has been set. And as we do so, we'll never fail. We'll never fall. No, well, we may fail, but we're not going to shipwreck in the same way that maybe we've seen some other people in Scripture. As we rely on the Lord, as we're looking to him, as we're letting go of sin and grabbing hold of Christ, life just becomes so much better. So much, you know, more light and delightful. And it's not always easy, but there's still joy, even when things aren't easy. And that's just, it's just following Christ changes everything. And so I would just pray for all of us that our hearts would be more and more knowledgeable on who Christ is, more and more rejoicing in what he's done, and that when he said it is finished, it is finished. The greatest woe and worry we could ever face in life, our eternity has been settled. We are bound for heaven, and sanctification is just the rest of the journey as we're being shaped and molded for eternity. That's a good way to put it, I suppose. So trust the Lord. He's faithful to lead us, and he's faithful to help us, even in the greatest trials you can imagine. But as I conclude, there's just a few questions to ask here. And Steve, before we even start off by referencing things as believers are supposed to do, there may be people in this room who have not repented and put their trust in Christ Jesus. And what I mean by that is they're still living in rebellion. They have yet to look to Christ and say, you are who you say you are. Because here's the reality, guys. The good news is good because of what could have happened if we didn't accept it. Because we are rebellious sinners. Before we met Christ, before we surrendered to Christ, we did not do what God wanted. He wanted to give us life, and we rejected that and said, we don't want to worship you or praise you or give you glory for the wonderful things you've given us. We want to take your breath and not give you any credit for it. We want to worship what you've given us and not worship you. We reject you, but we love what you give. And because of that, in the same way, if we were to break a law in the law of the land, we're owed some measure of justice, we're owed some measure of penalty. And because of that, our ultimate destination apart from Christ is an eternity of suffering in a place called hell. But it doesn't have to be that way. Christ came down, not just as a mere representative of God, but as God himself. Perfectly God, perfectly man, lived to be the perfect representation of God himself, because he is God himself, and came and lived a perfect life, atoned for our sins, and died and took the wrath of God on the cross in Calvary and shed his blood that we might know the righteousness of God. And we can know that was true because he came, he predicted his own death and his own resurrection. And when he came back to life, we can be rest assured that that sacrifice was a worthy sacrifice, not just for the here and now, but for the past, present, in the future. And so, friend, if you have not put your faith in Christ, that is your absolute first step. Trust Jesus, because he is worthy, he is faithful, and your eternity will be settled if you put your trust in him. It's like, you know, all the rest of us sitting in these chairs. You put your full weight into it because you know it's going to hold you. You put your full weight into Christ because he can hold you in so much more. No matter the sins you struggle with, you know, Christ is willing to atone for them. Every single one, but you just have to submit to him. So that being said, what are the practical steps for us as believers? And again, like, as we think of the church, we go back to the Great Commission, Matthew 28, making disciples. Are we being a disciple? Are we being discipled? Are we making disciples? And if the answer is no, we need to be honest and say we're living outside the will of God. And again, this isn't to be cruel, but this is the reality for us, is God loves us too much to leave us outside of that. As I talk to people who have been out of the church and just haven't made time for those things, and I ask them, you know, how were you? Like, be honest, I was miserable. It's because God knows this is where you're going to be molded and changed, and he's trying to push you to take those steps. Because we need to be on mission, fulfilling the Great Commission to make disciples and be disciples ourselves. And as an extension of that, it's just how active are we in the church, like I said earlier, as we looked at verse 7 with growing in brotherly affection. Now, how active are we really in the church if we're being honest with ourselves? Are we, I'm not saying, you know, we need to quit our jobs and go do all this stuff. Maybe the Lord's telling you that. I don't know. Talk to somebody before you do that, please. But how active are we in the church as much as we can be? You know, are we missing things and just saying, I'll do it next week when God's saying to do it now? Because here's the thing, delayed obedience is still disobedience. So if God's telling us to do something, God's calling us to do something, let today be the day you do that. To be part of the church, to be active in the church, and you will never regret following the Lord. You will never regret doing what he asks of you. You will regret sin. You will regret the time you wasted by not doing what he asks, but you will never regret following the Lord and doing what he tells you to do. I could say that because that's been my life, and I'm sure for about everybody in this room whose name called upon the name of the Lord, they'd say the same. And so make the most of the time you have while you're being the church and in the church. And the other part of this is just, are we being a light to the world? As God is sanctifying us and God is molding us in our workplace, in our family, whatever environment we're in, how are we reflecting Christ? How are we reflecting his character and his nature to those who don't know him? What are they seeing about Jesus and how we live our lives? And there may be some unfair assumptions people make. You know, maybe we're in places that we're not engaging in some kind of sinful behavior, but because the place usually is associated with that, they're sort of like, oh, well, he's a drunkard, even though he's not drinking. It's just being mindful of the witness we have. It's just there's things I don't do anymore, even though I do believe I have license, just because I don't know if it's the best witness in that moment. And so I lay down my preferences so that they would see Christ. And I am not the epitome of righteousness. That's not what I'm trying to say. It's just these things that God has brought to light in my life to say, you know, if I want to be a great witness for the Lord, these are things I maybe need to let go of for a time or however long the Lord would lead me in. And there's a person-by-person basis. It may not be the same for everybody, but it's just something we need to be thoughtful of is how are we being the best witnesses we can be for Christ in the places he has us in. Whether it be your family, whether it be your job, whether it be the church, whatever it is, how are we reflecting the light that Christ has given us? How are we being salty, so to speak? And sometimes there's different connotations in this. I think it's Gen Z has a different connotation of that. The flavor that we bring up for the Lord, so to speak. And so at the end of this, and towards the end of this, the reality is, what does our intimacy with God look like right now? Are we very intimate with the Lord? And this intimacy is closeness. This close intimacy that we can have with the Father that he wants for us to have. I believe it's John 14, as Jesus talks about himself being the door and the gate for the sheep. Talk about them, us being one as him and the Father were one. The kind of intimacy that Christ had with the Father and the rest of the Trinity is the kind of intimacy that we're called into. It's not going to be perfect because we're not God and we're not perfect. But God does desire intimacy with us. And so the problem isn't him, it's us. How are we drawing near to him so that he would draw near to us? Because he's never so far away that we can't reach out to him. As Paul says in Acts 17, but he's given us boundaries so that we would know him and reach out to him. So whatever position you are in life or you're at, there's always an opportunity for growing the knowledge of your Savior, growing the knowledge of how precious you are in God's sight. And so I advocate, and really my heart's prayer for all of us is to realize that if anything out of this message you get is to understand that God loves you more than you know, and that's the biggest thing in your sanctification is that God has you. God knows you better than you know yourself. God's better at taking care of you than you're better taking care of, than you are at taking care of yourself. He is your Father. He'll discipline you like a father, but he also loves you like a father, even in the discipline. There's nothing he does that's not out of love for us because of the cross. And so as you are being sanctified, as you're growing, just trust him, look to him, love him, rejoice in him because he loves you. And in so many ways, he rejoices in you, even as we struggle. So be encouraged, friend, because Christ is good and he's worthy, and he won't let you down. Grow in him and love him, because that's his plan for you. Thank you, friends, for being here today. And I just pray that we be encouraged to be the church as we walk up these doors, that we're encouraged and maybe thinking of through this testimony of God's faithfulness and how he's formed us and how he's molding us to be more like his son and just these many things, and thinking like, this was the person I was all these years ago, and as I look today, I see how God has molded me to be a completely different person. So let that faithfulness rise. Thank you, friends. Now I'm going to pray, and then I think we're going to have a time for invitation. But what a joy it is to be Christ's church and to be his people. Amen. Lord, thank you for today, Father. I pray that as we walk and listen to this message, that we would be doers and not just hearers, Father. That we would look to the word to ask and respond to what you're calling us to do, to trust in your steadfastness, trust in your love and the life that you've given us through Christ, and to believe that there is more than we've allowed ourselves to believe, that we would not be so easily tempted to despair in times of hardship, but that we would see Christ, worship and adore him, and love him because he's worthy of it, Lord. Thank you, God, for these people. Thank you, God, for hearts and minds that you're sanctifying even at this very moment. Help us to reflect on what you've done so that we would have joy even in the struggles that we may think are ahead. Lord, bless our hearts and minds to rejoice and reflect on you, and never forget that when Christ said it is finished, it is finished. Our woes, our greatest woe is over. You have set us apart, and we have victory because Christ has the victory. In Jesus' precious name, Lord. Amen.